Praise the Lord.
Father, we just thank you once again for allowing us all to be here this morning. We just give you all praise, honor, and glory. And we thank you, Father, that as we sung praises and worshiped you, Lord, that you have touched our hearts, you have moved on the things that we have need of in our lives. We just thank you, God, for the calm reassurance that all is well. We thank you for your anointing that's here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you rule and reign and abide in this place, that you have full control over the service. We just cover each and every person here in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we thank you and give you all honor and glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to learn about a faithful bride, and this is actually Pastor Barbara's teaching. I'm not taking credit for anything that's in here. She just asked me to teach this for her, so I just want to throw that out there. All right, so it begins in Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all he had, 'Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac.' And the servant said to him, 'Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?' But Abraham said to him, 'Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, "To your descendants I give this land," he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there.' Abraham was responsible for seeking a wife for his son Isaac. He could not go himself, so he entrusted the search to a faithful servant. Just like Abraham, God is seeking a bride for his son Jesus. God has sent his helper, the Holy Spirit, to seek and to save an anointed bride. This bride will demonstrate three characteristics. Now, we'll get into those three characteristics in a moment. In Genesis 24, 9 through 15, it says, "So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day, and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, "Please let down your pitcher that I may drink," and she says, "Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink," let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master.' And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder." So here we see the servant saying, "Okay, God, I need you to bring this woman to me, and I need to know that that's the right woman for Isaac." Now, Abraham sent him on this mission because he couldn't do it himself, so Abraham's entrusting this faithful servant with the task of getting a wife for his son Isaac. Now, that's a pretty big deal, because it's a lifetime thing. You better not make a mistake. So this guy was being real sure that he asked for a very specific sign from the Lord. It'd be one thing for her to say, "Oh, let me give you some water." But to give water to the camels too. Now, he took 10 camels. Now, I looked this up on Google last night. A thirsty camel will drink up to 30 gallons of water times 10 camels. That's potentially 300 gallons of water that Rebecca had to draw from this well, maybe by herself, just for the camels. So that's pretty intense. That's a very specific sign. Not everybody is just going to do that. Plus, if you think, if it was a 5-gallon bucket that you had to draw in this, you know, back then they just had a stick and a rope that, you know, wasn't exactly, it didn't have bearings in it, wasn't a smooth rotation, I'm sure. So that's a pretty big sign. And for her to do that, which she did, you got to figure it was evening time when they started doing this. So she was probably there for a while, into the wee hours of the morning, drawing all this water for the camels. I often wonder if the servant maybe said, okay, God, I get the point, you know, after maybe the 100th gallon of water. But anyway, so that's interesting. Then he said, this I will know, that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebecca, who was born through all these things, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. So, number one, remember earlier we said there's three things in a faithful bride. The first is that the faithful bride will be willing. God's bride will be a willing vessel. The Holy Spirit gives people a choice. He extends an invitation, saying, I have need of you. I am reaching out my hand to you. Can you shut that heat off, please? Thank you. Will you come away and become what I desire you to be? The bride always has the privilege of choosing how to respond. Rebecca came to the well with a pitcher on her shoulder, ready to work. God's bride is going to be a working church. A working church. God desires that we come every day to his throne with a pitcher ready to work and drawing water out of the wells of salvation. Our part is to be willing to do anything he wants us to do. God will never ask us to do anything that is too hard for us. We may think that it is difficult, but his grace is always sufficient. So what has God been asking you to do? If God has asked you to do this thing, you can do it. God can help. He is with you. His grace is sufficient. If you find yourself doing something that you just can't do, no matter what, reconsider, did God really ask me to do this, or did I want to do this? Number two, the faithful bride will be obedient. In Genesis 24:16-20, it says, now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. I'm going to pause here for a second. This is talking about Rebecca. Anyways, back to the scripture, verse 16. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also, until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Several days later, when the request for a drink was given, Rebecca immediately responded. She didn't hesitate. She didn't say, well, let me think about it. She immediately responded. Some people are like goats, but God is looking for obedient people. Goats are stubborn. As Jesus becomes Lord over what we do, say, and think, then he blesses everything our hand finds to do. Why? Because he is in total control. Most of God's people do the opposite. They plan everything. Then they ask God to bless their plans. God has not promised to bless us in our own plans. Submit yourself to God. This is one of the most important keys to overcoming the enemy. We can resist the devil if we are submitted to God. If you're having a problem resisting the devil and you're caving in, you're not submitted to God. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you're not getting grace, then there must be some area of your life that you're proud. I can fight this by myself. I don't need anybody's help. I got this. Well, you're not going to get God's grace in the measure that he wants you to have then. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of times we hear the scripture, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So we're resisting. But the first part of the actual verse says, therefore, submit to God. We kind of overlook that part sometimes, most of the time. Don't be afraid of submitting everything under the mighty hand of God's authority. When we submit to his authority, we walk in and reflect that authority in the earth. His name becomes our name, and his authority becomes our authority. When this happens, devils and religious people become nervous because they are no longer in control, and neither are you. See, that's what happens when you submit everything to God. You place on everything under his lordship, under his rulership, then he becomes you. In other words, you're emptied out and you're filling yourself with more of God. And then you're walking like God, you're talking like God, you're operating like God does, and he's working right through you. And the enemy will have no common ground, no place inside of you to bombard you, to cause you to stumble into those things that we often stumble in. Okay, so number three, they will be faithful. Faithfulness may be the most difficult characteristic to develop. Rebekah not only gave the servant water, she drew water for his camels too. That required perseverance and faithfulness. God is looking for faithful men and women. He is calling for faithful servants. Now, Rebekah could have said, you know what, I gave most your camels water. You know, I didn't really have to do this, so I'm going to stop now. Because after all, I'm just a volunteer. You know, nope, that's not what God's looking for. God's looking for the words that come out of your mouth needs to have the attachment of the actions behind it fulfilling the words that came out of your mouth. It is easy to be willing and obedient once or twice, but what happens when God requires obedience from us as he did from Abraham? What if the unbelief of others postpones our receiving the promise? As it did for Caleb, he waited 45 years before Hebron was given to him. See, that's the thing. Sometimes I've been boo-hooing and crying, God, why isn't this happening? And you said, you know, you gave me this promise and it hasn't happened yet and everything. What am I doing wrong? Beating myself over the head. Come to find out, the person who God was trying to use to bless you wasn't doing it. So it's not anything you did wrong. It's that somebody else out there is not yielding. And that's frustrating. But God gives more grace. So, many people like the promises, but don't care for the conditions. If you listen to your prophetic words, when God speaks to you, sometimes he will say, I will give you this, and I will do this for you. And then there's an if statement. It's a condition. I will do this if you do that. You have to meet that condition. You can expect the promise. That's fine. You can live as though you already have the promise, though you might not have it physically. That's fine, as long as you're doing your part to meet that condition. Many people like the promises but don't care for the conditions. They want to reign with Jesus but aren't willing to suffer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 tells us, if we suffer, there's the if statement, the condition, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. You'll see a lot of people in the body of Christ that go hide and live under a rock because they don't want to suffer. They think, hey, you know, this is the best way to stop anything from really happening to me. I won't get in much trouble. You know, no, you're isolating yourself from the body. You have a wrong mindset that says, I won't suffer if I do this. No, you are putting your light under a bowl. You're putting your light in your house. You're shutting the doors and drawing the windows shut. Your house is a wonderful place, but what about the rest of the world that needs light? So Rebecca was not watering the camels to gain a reward. She had nothing to gain from it, except maybe some extra muscle. No, I'm just kidding. Rebecca was not watering the camels to gain a reward, but because she wanted to bless that man. See, her nature was to bless. She wanted to bless other people. That was her nature, part of her character, because she was faithful. So here's the lesson for you and me. Serve Jesus faithfully. Give to him with no desire for reward, and you will get the greatest reward of all. It's simple, because the human flesh naturally wants to be rewarded, or patted on the back, or whatever, you know, for things that we do. If you let go of that, if you tell yourself, hey, I'm going to get the biggest reward at all for not wanting a reward, then do that. Well, no, you should have it in your heart to just do it without wanting a reward. Let's go with that. Let's do that one. Okay, so God blesses and anoints faithful people. Zadok was a faithful priest during the time of Saul and David. On three different occasions, he has major decisions to make about following the Lord. David and Saul were in mortal combat while Zadok stood on the sidelines watching. Saul represented the old order, and David the new, even though Saul was God's anointed. He was a proud and jealous man given over to rebellion and pride. David, on the other hand, was a man after God's own heart. Because Saul exalted himself, God eventually took his mantle from him and gave it to David. Biblical proof right there of what God's been saying for a long time. If you're not where you're supposed to be at, you're not taking God's grace and trying to, you know, better yourself, God will take your mantle and give it to somebody else. The first decision Zadok had to make was whether to follow the old order or the new, a choice which we are all faced with. Will we follow tradition or the anointing? Something serious to consider and think about. Are we going to stick with the old patterns, routines, and habits? Well, this is how it always is. Or are we willing to let go of that and flow with the anointing? God is always changing things. Times and seasons and the way in which he does things. It's flowing like a river. It's not a laser beam that just shoots in a straight linear line all the way forever. God is flexible. God shifts and changes things. Will we do things out of pride and as they have always been done? Or will we be daring and follow new paths? God is always moving on and doing new things. God is continually revealing new truths to his church. We must have ears to hear and establish ourselves in present truth. There's nothing wrong with holding on to old truths that God has revealed and established, but be open and willing to flow with the new things that God is revealing. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Well, right here it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. So, don't listen to what I just said. Listen to the scripture. God says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Zadok saw the anointing on David and chose to follow him rather than Saul. He chose to pay the price for the costly anointing. Now here's the thing, here's the thought. Saul was anointed and David was anointed by God. And Zadok had to look at that and say, well, they're both anointed by God. What do I do here? He had to be a fruit inspector. He had to look behind the scenes, you know, under the surface. What's really going on here? We have to be doing that too. So Zadok saw the anointing on David and chose to follow him rather than Saul. He chose to pay the price for the costly anointing. Later, Absalom, David's third son, rebelled and attempted to overthrow his father as king. Zadok prayed and asked God to show him which man to back. If Absalom were God's man, Zadok was ready to support him. God showed Zadok that Absalom was rebellious and told him not to follow the youth. Zadok obeyed and chose to be faithful to David. Zadok made a decision that every one of us must make. Will we support the popularity of a personality, or will the principles of God become a priority over the man? That's something very important to consider. Will we support the popularity of a personality, or will the principles of God become a priority over the man? The final test for Zadok came when David had grown old. Adonijah, another of David's sons, rose up and tried to take his father's throne by force. If Zadok followed him, it would have brought him instant fame. But when Zadok prayed about the matter, God told him he hadn't chosen Adonijah and that he should remain faithful to David. Zadok obeyed and waited on his ministry. Because he remained faithful to the Lord, and to the Lord's chosen, God promoted Zadok when Adonijah's flame died just as quickly as it had risen. The two faithful friends, David and Zadok, remained together side by side, hand in hand. So that is a pure example of faithfulness. There could be instant fame if you make this decision. You might be well known. You might have an opportunity to do many things you've never done before, but is that what God wants? Is it the right time? Is it going to cause a loyalty issue to somebody if you go ahead and do that? So we just have to wait on our ministries for when God says, okay, it's time to be released. Until then, and always, really, you remain faithful to the people that are over you, always. Finally, as David lay dying years later, he said this to his friend, "Zadok, you will be the high priest in Solomon's administration." Zadok was serving when the presence of the Lord filled the temple in greater glory than had ever been seen before on the face of the earth. Zadok's faithfulness was rewarded. See, Zadok wasn't looking for a reward or a prize for what he did. He just was faithful. Because it's the character and nature of God. And God ended up rewarding him for doing that. Faithfulness is a test we all face regularly. Will we remain faithful to God, waiting upon the Lord's timing and ministry? Or will we give way to pride? God is giving us the opportunity to have a new heart to be faithful. Zadok chose to wait upon God for promotion, and not to secure it by the arm of the flesh. In other words, he wasn't trying to secure it in his own understanding. He wasn't trying to seize the thing by himself. He said, God, these look like great opportunities, but it's not you. You haven't done it yet, so I'm not going there. Esther was chosen because of her faithfulness. When her people were in danger, she could have looked to the good of her own position and forgotten about them. But she would not, even if it cost her life. Esther 4:16, "If I perish, I perish. If I die, I die." She walked into the king's private chamber and requested that he deliver her people, and she prevailed. That's stepping out in faith, because if you came in unannounced, the king would send you to death. I actually know that because of VeggieTales. But it's in the Word. God knew David would be a good king because he had been a faithful shepherd, willing to risk his own life for the good of his sheep. Joseph was faithful in slavery and in imprisonment. God knew he could be trusted with authority as second in command in Egypt. What are you going through right now that makes you feel like you're in prison? Maybe God's testing your faithfulness so that when you come out of prison, God knows, he already knows, I can trust that guy. I can trust this person because they have proven themselves faithful. Even when things weren't going right, even when they were going through the trial and things were messed up, but at least they remained faithful. Now I'm going to pull them out of that prison and I'm going to bless them abundantly and I can trust them with it. God is always testing people's hearts. Okay, so God is still looking for faithful people. Like Rebecca, keep watering those camels. Like Joseph, keep believing, even in your prison dungeon. Keep preparing yourself to rule and reign in kingdom authority and responsibility. And responsibility. The kingdom authority is nice, but it comes with a responsibility. You have to retain what God gives you. In other words, you have to work at it. You have to keep it going. It's going to test you. It's going to cost you. You're going to suffer for it because of it. And you're going to grow as that's happening. You're strengthening yourself in the Lord as you go through that. God is a rewarder. When he has need of you, he will call you. I can't tell you how many times God has said, I need you to do this. And if you do it, I'm going to bless you for it. And he doesn't even have to say that. But it just shows that he is a rewarder. He will extend to you his right arm of power, his costly anointing. Be prepared to receive it. It awaits all those who will dedicate themselves to faithfulness. Now, I used to raise my hand and say, Lord, give me the maximum. Give me the extreme. I just want all of it. Not realizing that there is a price to pay for that type of anointing. And it wasn't until after a while, and I really believe this time frame is dependent on the thickness of one's skull. So my timeline was from that wall to that wall. And I finally realized, how about I just receive what God wants me to have? What he knows I'm able to contain and handle. Because I'm getting myself in a lot of trouble and hot water saying, give me the maximum, Lord. Every cost is acceptable by any means necessary. That it just, you know, you have a good heart that wants the Lord and all of him. But be careful what you pray for. Because you may receive it. So God is looking for people who are faithful. He's looking for people that are dedicated, that are devoted to him, people that are willing to set aside what is most important to them to give time, service, whatever, unto the Lord, to give of themselves to God when he needs them. And if you prove this consistently, God is going to reward you. He's going to bless the fruits of that labor, and you will reap a return. And you'll have so much that you can give to others. And that should be everybody's desire. It doesn't matter what I have as long as I can give into others. Because I would want others to give into me. So I'm going to give into others. So if you want that anointing, God's extra grace touching you, wrapping you like a blanket, to give you that anointing of faithfulness where you can say, yes, Lord, and be consistent with what you say, yes, Lord, I'll do this, then come up front and God's going to give you that anointing for faithfulness.